So, what makes the teachings of Jesus unique? We're about to enter a section of the Gospel according to Luke that I believe is the heart of the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the core of it. This is what sets him apart above every other teacher or prophet that's ever been in the world. I want you to listen carefully to what he said in this section of Luke 6, 20-36, because you're going to be hearing the teachings of heaven. And by that, if we all practice what Jesus taught in this section, I believe we can experience a foretaste of heaven while still living here on the earth. Someone might say, okay, it will be heaven on earth if everyone else practices these things. Well, what's interesting about this teaching here that we're going to look at is that Jesus is talking about practicing these things even among people who are not practicing them. I can still have a foretaste of heaven on the earth even if others are not practicing what Jesus teaches in this section. Because, as you're going to notice, he's going to be talking about us living these things in people who are not like us, who do not think like us. In fact, they will be quite opposite to what we are, what we think, what we believe, and how we live. So we can be right on target with various teachings in the scriptures, but if we do not practice what I will call the middle third of Luke chapter 6. Of course, I know I can say that about any of the teachings and commands of Jesus. But if I can't practice what you would call the center part of Luke 6, then we have not yet captured the Spirit of Jesus, and His Spirit has not yet captured us. There's just something about these teachings that really get to the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is why I urge you to listen to what Jesus taught. What you will hear tonight will go against your natural inclination, what your family and friends tell you to do, and what the world says you must absolutely do. But we need to remember that each of us is going to appear before the Lord to explain to Him why we did not keep His teachings or why we did. And I think we all prefer to do the latter rather than saying, well, Lord, I didn't think what you said was really right or it wouldn't work or something. We don't want to do that. So you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart because of what He has done for you. When you hear someone expound on the crucifixion of Christ, or you read it yourself in the scripture, it touches you in a deep way. I know, because we've talked with one another, or sometimes I've spoken on it, and I can see your reaction to it. It just affects you like nothing else possibly can. And you can hear it again and again and again over many decades, and it still touches you deeply. Am I right? I really think that happens. So He, in response, simply asked us to believe what He says and to do what He says. I don't think that's too much for Him to ask, do you? So do you think you can do that for Him? Do you think we can do that for Him? Do we want to do that for Him? So here we go. Remember to be brave, to want to do what He says. And remember earlier in Luke 5, which we looked at last week, that Peter thought he knew better than the Master Himself. And Peter learned that he was a sinful man for thinking that way. Remember? So let's start now. Luke 6, 21-23. Then He lifted up His eyes toward His disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Blessed are the poor, whether Jesus meant poor materialistically or spiritually, as in Matthew 5 when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He promised the poor the kingdom of God. Just the opposite of the way we think it would be. The poor have a kingdom. They have a kingdom coming to them. And it's the kingdom of God. He talked about going from rags to riches. Wow. Has any kingdom on this earth surpassed what awaits us in the kingdom of God? You might be poor now, but later your wealth shall exceed anything that you could possibly imagine. I like the way Paul spoke about God's ability in Ephesians chapter 3 when he said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I don't know about you, but I got a pretty wild imagination. I can imagine some pretty great things, Lord. You're saying you can surpass that? Paul, by the Spirit, would say, well, yeah, he can go way beyond that. Blessed, Jesus said, are those who hunger now. Maybe you don't have enough of whatever it is that is necessary. But you live by the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's all right because you know that Jesus said, at some point, you're going to be filled. Be patient. Wait for it. It will happen. He knows what is happening to you. He knows how your life is. Blessed are those who weep now. Those who see what Satan is doing in this world, dragging many people, even sometimes Christians, down with him to hell. And it tears you up when you see it. You're sad often because of it. However, you have the heart of Jesus and the time for laughter and enjoyment is on the way. Do not despair. He will not let you down. Next he said, blessed are the persecuted. And on this one, he said more than he did on the other ones. Perhaps because he knew we would find it difficult to believe that persecution could actually be a blessing. And that's exactly what he said here. Blessed are the persecuted. And it really is true that there's a blessing in persecution. I mean, let's look at it in another realm. If a soldier suffered in fighting for our country, if a police officer suffered in defending the citizens of this town, for example, what would we think about it? What would he think about it? We'd all say that's it's wonderful. I mean, not that he got hurt, but we would say that person is blessed. That person was willing to go to that point to show his love and devotion either for his nation or the citizens where he lives. Why can't that also be true for the kingdom? For some reason, we think that in the kingdom, as disciples of Christ, we shouldn't have to suffer. But you may be suffering right now, and you may not even think that it's directly related to your faith. But I just say to you, remember Job. No one approached Job and said, deny the Lord. And yet, everything that he suffered in the book of Job was because of his faith. So whatever you're going through right now, even if Satan didn't do it to you, he's at least using it to try and get to you. So keep that in mind. Now, I've met some Christians who believe you're not being persecuted until something physically is happening to you. You're being beaten up, you're being crucified, or whatever. But Jesus considered right here that when men hate you, when they exclude you, he said, which today we would call the cancel culture. See, that's been going on for a long time. when they revile you and when they cast your name out as evil for His sake. He says you're blessed. You're blessed for such persecution. So don't let anybody tell you that even if you're verbally attacked or something else happens or they just exclude you from something, that you're not really being persecuted, because Jesus said, oh yes, you are. Jesus said to rejoice, and He gave us two reasons for doing so. Number one, your reward in heaven is great. Well, the fact that you even have a reward and then is great. And then secondly, He said the prophets were persecuted just before. So think about what company you're in. Jesus once said that, or I think it was Stephen, excuse me, in Acts chapter 7, he asked the Jewish council, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Just tell me one they didn't persecute. So every single one of them was persecuted. What a company to be in. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Micah, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, David, all of them. You are now in that company. You can't be in better company than that. Now Jesus said, blessed are the opposite. Or, excuse me, He said, woe to those who are the opposite. Verse 24, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe to the rich. Woe to those who have made earthly wealth their goal. Woe to those who want their heaven on earth. There was a woman in Long Beach who just had a lot of problems, and myself and some other brethren were trying to teach her and so forth and so on. And she says, I don't want some pie in the sky. I want it now. And that's just not the way to think. Jesus said, woe to them because what they have already received is all that they shall receive. That's why He says, for you have received your consolation. You're not receiving anymore. They gained earth, but they lost heaven in the process. Woe to the fool. Woe to them for living for pleasure. Woe to them for they were unwilling to lay up treasure in heaven. Later they will find that they will not receive anything from the Lord. Woe to those who laugh now. Woe to those who want life to be one big unending party. Woe to them for not mourning over sin and the suffering of others. The time comes when Jesus said they shall no longer laugh, but they shall be separated from everything that is eternally happy and filled with joy. They shall mourn and weep for eternity. They wanted endless laughter here, where Satan rules and where sin destroys lives, but they wanted to ignore all that. And then lastly, He said, woe to those of whom everyone speaks well. Because in order to do that, you have to be like a false prophet who tells people lies so that you'll like me. And Jesus said, woe is to that person. Now listen to this. Verses 27 to 30. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. So here is where Jesus taught that we can still be heavenly people even in the midst of people from hell. He once taught, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's precisely what Jesus taught in this section that I just read to you from Luke 6. We ought not to hurt people, even if they hurt us, he's teaching us. But we are here to bless people, because that's what he did. Even after we have used his name in vain or sinned against him in other ways, what has he done to us? He has every right to harm us whenever we sin. But instead, he loves us. He does good to us. He blesses us. He prayed for us, John 17. He offered the other cheek when he let men hit him and crucify him. He does not withhold from good from us. He doesn't withhold good from us. And he gave to everyone. He practiced exactly what he just said in those verses. What was that? 36 through 27 through 30. He practiced every one of them first. He lived it his whole life. So if I do as he did to me, then I am a disciple of Christ. And if I refuse to do what he said, how can I hope to be saved? So are you thinking to yourself, well, but Don, those things won't work, and people will just step all over you, and they'll take advantage of you. Remember, I said something towards the beginning from Luke 5, when the Lord told Peter to let down his net for a catch. And remember what Peter said? Okay, this is from last week, Luke 5:5. Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I know more than you, Lord. I really admire you. That's why I call you Master. But on this matter, I don't think you know what you're talking about. You remember what happened? Peter did it. And he caught so much fish that he called his partners over, Simon and James and John, in whom he was in partners in a fishing business. And they're all pulling this huge net in with all these fish, and they're hauling onto their boats, and the boats are getting so heavy they're starting to sink a little bit. And boom, that's when it hit Peter. Man, was I wrong. I thought I knew more than the Lord himself. And I don't. I don't know anything. The Lord knows it all. Therefore, his response was, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I'd ask you to remember that exchange between Jesus and Peter when you look here at Luke chapter 6. Jesus continued, verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. A man who believes that there is not a God, or he might even say now that he's agnostic on that point, and who speaks against Christianity, always has since I've talked with him on the subject, once confessed to me that he believed this teaching, what we commonly call the golden rule, is the best way to live, and that if everyone lived by it, this would be a better world. And I said, do you know who said that, where that comes from? Yes, I do, he said. But it didn't change anything, but I can't argue with him. I think he was exactly right. But here's the thing, I need to do it even if someone else is not doing it. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching us here in Luke 6:31. I don't wait for you to take the first step. I take the first step. So he didn't say you can do this once the other person has done it. This is the way you live, whether other people live that way or not. 32 to 36. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Now listen to this. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So can we go beyond what the world does? Jesus is under the impression that we can. Can we love those who do not even love us or maybe even hate us? Jesus thinks we can. Can we do good to those who do not do good to us? There's no doubt that Jesus expects that of us. Can we lend to those from whom we do not hope to receive back? Was that a hard one when we came to that? But there it is in the Scripture. Again, Jesus taught that we should love our enemies. That's the second time He said this in His little talk right here. Do good, and that we should lend, hoping not to receive anything in return. We hope for nothing in return because we know that God is going to reward us. And He can give back to me far more than the person to whom I've given or lent, far more than what they can do. And if He doesn't want to do that, that's fine. Because we're all right with that. We know that everything He gave to me in the first place is His. I'm using it for a while. So if He wants to give me the same thing back again, or something new, or something better, or whatever, He can do that. Or if He just wants to see me go for a while without it, I don't know. He said if we can do these things, we will be sons of the Most High. And that's because He said the Most High is kind toward the unthankful, and He is kind toward the evil. So He knows exactly what it's like. Can you imagine being God and dealing with the world, which for the most part toward Him is unthankful and evil, breaking His laws constantly? I prayed to God, I think it was yesterday, I just thought, God, how many times have I sinned against You? I know that if You just listed them all and You reminded me of what every single one was, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'd be so ashamed and so embarrassed of what I've done. And yet, has He been kind to me? Has He been kind to you? Overwhelmingly so. In all these things, Jesus taught us to be merciful even as our Father is merciful. And He'll continue to be merciful to us as long as we're merciful toward others. Everything that Jesus taught, in our passage tonight, Luke 6, 20-36, contradicts either our own natural inclinations or what the world teaches us to do. Therefore, beware of following your own heart and of following the world. If you listen to your heart, or you listen to the world, or both, you're not going to end up being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you know that the world bombards us endlessly with its messages. And our own hearts constantly tell us to follow the flesh. However, if you listen to the world, you will not be able to do the things that you know you should. As Paul told the Galatians, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I know the world says all the time to trust yourself, to believe in yourself, to trust your feelings, to trust your gut or your heart. But please listen to these passages from Proverbs. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And then, at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, a lot of Christians know this passage. They may not have known that last one, but they know this one here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So the Bible even warns us about trusting ourselves. That's what Peter was doing in Luke 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So follow the teachings of the Scriptures that I've given you tonight, and I think you're going to discover peace. I think you'll just live in peace, and you'll leave the results up to the Lord. Brethren, the world will tell you that what we learned from Jesus tonight will not work. Don't believe them. You stick to the Scripture and see whether it happens the way He said so or not. If we can pray for you tonight and help you to be a stronger Christian, it'd be our pleasure to do so. Come forward now as we stand and sing.